All right. Hey, let's stand and let's give King Jesus the praise and honor and glory that he deserves. That has the name that is above every other name. When you would agree, let's celebrate that together.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Let's hear your voices.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Seat. Hi, Mosaic. How you doing? Oh, good. Me too. I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. Hey, my name is Nick, and I get the joy of serving this team as one of the ministry leaders and teaching pastors here, and it's a real joy to be here. And if you are new joining us for the first time, we just want to say hi. We here at Fellowship Mosaic are a part of a larger church called Fellowship Bible Church of Northwest Arkansas. And our heart here on Saturday night is really to be a family of people who are honest about the truth that we've been broken. We've been hurt by sin. And sin is anything that goes against God's desires and his will for our lives. And that we have committed sins, we've done things that cause hurt, and we've also been sinned against and hurt. But that brokenness does not define us. It's not the end of our story. Even more important than our brokenness is that we matter to God. And we can see the picture of how much we matter to God by looking to the cross and the life that Jesus gave for us. And so we want to be a family that, because we are brought together by the love of Jesus, gets to tell a new story and to paint a new picture that gives all the glory to Jesus. So that's what we mean by being a mosaic. We're people who've been broken, but who are brought together and healed and become a family that loves Jesus. So we're glad that you're here. We'd love to get to know you. One way you can do that is by saying hi to anyone up here, or just kind of look around and look at the most friendly looking person near you, and they would love to talk to you after service. Or you could also come to the booth out in the foyer and say hi. You also could text hashtag MoNew to the number on your screen. Hey, something's coming up in the next couple of weeks we want you to know about. If you haven't been around church and church circles for a while, we're entering into the most special season of our year, because our faith is not just a series of ideas, philosophies, and rhythms for life. Our faith is built on something that happened, a historical event that changes everything for humanity in the world, that God became a human, that he walked on earth, and that he was murdered as a sacrifice for our sin, that he was hung up on a cross and killed, and then defeated death and rose again 3 days later. And that historical event happened on a date in time. And we're entering in the time of the year where that happened, and we get to remember that. And so the next two Saturdays are set aside to remembering that historical event that changed everything. Next Saturday, the 23rd, we're having a celebration called Tenebrae. The word Tenebrae means darkening. We remember the darkness of the cross. And then the Saturday after that, we celebrate Easter, which is the story of the resurrection and that Jesus rose again. So we would invite you to come be a part of that celebration with us, and to invite those around you who need to hear the good news of the gospel, because the next two Saturdays are going to be all about what Jesus did to change everything. Y'all still with me? We got a couple more things to talk about. Thanks for your patience. Hey, tonight we have a really special guest teaching us, a dear friend of mine named Ashish Sadai. Ashish is from Nepal, and through some really cool alignments that God brought together, he's spending a year with us doing a residency, and a residency is where people spend a year as a part of our team doing ministry and growing a ministry, and he has really focused on helping us learn how to engage internationals in our community, building community groups that reach out to internationals here. I've gotten to learn a lot from him after his time doing ministry in Asia. It's been an absolute joy working with Ashish. And he's actually gonna be preaching tonight. And I'm really excited about this opportunity for a lot of reasons. One is it's a time for us to tell you why we do what we do. Many people ask, why do we have somebody different preaching every week? Why not just have one person that preaches 45, 50 Saturdays out of the year? And there's nothing wrong with churches that do that. That's a wonderful way to do things. But we are really committed to raising up people in their gifts in the Lord, giving them an opportunity to serve, and then sending them out to go start new churches and be a part of new ministries in other places. And so this is an opportunity for us to do that. And it's also an opportunity for me to tell all of you and myself how to listen to a sermon. This is something that I really want to do, but it feels self-serving to do it when I'm the one preaching. So now I get to do it for somebody else. And I want to remind us, when we come to church, this is not a political rally where we're listening to someone speak and assessing if we like them or don't like them based on what they say. This is not going to a restaurant where we're sampling the meal to decide if it's good enough for us to come back. When somebody stands up to preach, they're opening up the word of God to the people of God. Our responsibility is not to assess, to judge, or evaluate. Our responsibility is to listen to God's word and respond in faith. So as Ashish comes out here, you know, I'm sure he'll be nervous and all that stuff. I've gotten to hear him walk through stuff, and he has really spent some time seeking the Lord, and I'm excited to hear from him tonight. And I want to encourage us to come in and be ready to listen and learn what God's doing through the heart of this young man who's been seeking him and serving really faithfully this year. Hey, one last thing I want to talk to you about. I want to invite my friend, Mr. Don Reed, up to come chat with us tonight. Don and Ray have been an incredible gift to the Mosaic body for the last, how many years have y'all been in Northwest Arkansas now? How many years have y'all been in Northwest Arkansas now?
13, 14
years. And I've gotten to sit with Don, and he has been a real mentor to me in ministry and in faith. And it's been just a really, really joy as he leads community ministry out in Siloam and also through a ministry called Align. So I just want to give him a second to tell us a little bit about Align and what's coming up with all that.
Great. Thank you, Nick. There's a phrase that's going to come up on the screen, and you may have heard it around here. It's not what we want from you, but what we want for you. That could be applied in many, many venues or genres. It could start with God. God so loved us that he sent his son Jesus that we're celebrating particularly during this season. It's not what he wants from us, it's what he wants for us. When you come to a Saturday night service, that is the phrase that should come to mind. The worship team has prayed over and chosen songs to sing. Not that they want something from us, but they want for us an experience of being led into the presence of God. Or if you drop your children off, there's no fee at the door that you have to pay for an hour and a half of child care, because those workers want to love on your children and keep them safe. This phrase, it's not what we want from you, but what we want for you, it applies in a lot of ways. But last July in 2021, Fellowship took a huge step in the for you, for us, not from us venue. We began to partner with an organization out in California called Financial Planning Ministry that offers a will and a trust for anyone in the congregations here at Fellowship with no out-of-pocket costs. You say, well, how do I get that? How do I get access to that? I've always been going to do that, just haven't gotten around to it. What do I do? 2 weeks from tonight, we will start a class called Align, or Align Your Finances with the Heart of God. It is 6 weeks long. The sixth session is the Will and Trust Seminar. We'll go over what they are, why you need to do it, and you'll get the secret handshake if you come along to that. There's almost 200 families now here in the Fellowship congregations that have taken advantage of that, and I would really like to invite you to do that. If you have a will, you have a trust, you need them, you need it updated, we will help you in all of those ways. We just finished a class last Sunday for the Rogers Sunday morning thing, and at the end we do an evaluation. We try to get better and better in doing the class, and here's a couple phrases, a couple comments that came when we said, would you like to write a sentence about what this class has meant to you? This just came in last Sunday morning. The Align class helped to renew my mind. We use the verse, Romans 12:2, that we change our thinking by renewing our mind. And the writer says, help to renew my mind regarding God's view of finances. Wonderful class that I would absolutely recommend to others. And then the second one really captures the phrase that was on the screen first tonight. Somebody wrote, I love to see my church taking generosity seriously, not in a way to get more funds, but to encourage spiritual growth in their members. So 2 weeks from tonight, go on the website. The address is up on the screen. And register for Align, and we'll see you in class. We meet over in the Family Community Center right behind the coffee bar going around. Either way, we'll meet there at 5 o'clock. It meets for 6 weeks.
And Don has been such a gift for me, and one of the things, I'll be honest with you, I have been terrified to talk to people about money. Like, if you gave me one ministry assignment that I would have run from, it would have been, hey, Nick, go take people to coffee and talk to them about their generosity and their giving. And I would have run screaming from that because I had it framed as fundraising. And one of the things that Don has really taught me that I've been really grateful for is when you study the scriptures, you don't see a lot about fundraising, but you see a lot of discipleship about how we handle our money.
Yeah.
And about generosity. And I've been really grateful for how he has helped me see God's heart in the scriptures. And so in light of that, Don, we're actually about to sing a song and have our offering, our time to share our resources with the church. And I just want to ask, would you just pray over the offering and our service tonight?
Okay. Father in heaven, your generosity is beyond any words that any of us could think of, or all of the words that we could think of tonight. You were so generous that you gave what was most precious to us, your son who hung on the cross and took not only our sin but our pain and the suffering that we deserve. And so, Father, we come before you with grateful hearts tonight, We're thrilled to be able to participate. You've invited us to be a part of kingdom work. And as we participate in the offering and participate with joyfully singing from our hearts, it all comes from your generosity to us, teaching us to be generous with others. We do that with great delight and joy and cheerfulness tonight in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand with us as we continue to sing? Confidence we have. Amen. Would you please remain standing for the reading of God's word?
Good evening, Mosaic family. It's good to see you. My name is Kat Derbeck. I am a grateful new believer in Jesus Christ and a new member of your Mosaic family. And thank you. It is such a blessing to worship with you each week. I'm deeply honored and grateful to bring you the word of the Lord tonight from 2 Samuel 23, 1 through 7, David's last words. These are the last words of David, the inspired utterance of David, son of Jesse, the utterance of the man exalted by the Most High, the man anointed by the God of Jacob, the hero of Israel's songs. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me, when one rules over people in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, he is like the light of morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after rain that brings grass from the earth. If my house were not right with God, surely he would not have made with me an everlasting covenant, arranged and secured in every part. Surely he would not bring to fruition my salvation and grant me every desire. But evil men are all to be cast aside like thorns, which are not gathered with the hand. Whoever touches thorns uses a tool of iron or the shaft of a spear. They are burned up where they lie. This is the word of the Lord.
That helps me a lot. Good evening, Mosaic. Hey, my name is Ashish Sadai. I might have been introduced in Body Life earlier. I am a resident here with a community group at Mosaic, and I'm extremely, extremely glad to wrap up David's series with us all tonight. It's my first time preaching all by myself in an English-speaking church. And I'm so glad that a lot of friends from here at the church have been texting me and then saying that they are praying for me. And that means a lot to me. And that's what I love about Mosaic. And I also have a few friends coming to listen to me speak today. And I'm very, very thankful for all of you who are in this room tonight. Growing up in Nepal, I remember singing this Nepalese Christian song that said, "Jab prabhuko atma mero hridayma cha, ma gaunchu daud chai, ma nachchu daud chai, stuti garchu daud chai." Just in case you did not understand, I'll translate it for you. The song's saying, when the Spirit of the Lord comes within my heart, I will sing as David did, I'll dance as David did, and I'll praise as David did. So growing up, I thought this David guy seems to be pretty special. We are singing songs about him. He seems to be pretty important. And matter of fact, just the name David itself means beloved or favorite. In our church, we have set aside 8 weeks, 2 months to learn from this guy called David. He's pretty special, pretty important. And I think the reason why he's so special and so important is because David made God his all. God was all to David. David said God is his portion. David, portion meaning that's all what he wanted if he could pick one thing. Very similar to a valuable pearl or a hidden treasure Jesus talks about in the book of Matthew. That was God to David. There's a very famous Tozer quote that said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So for David, God was his all. God was his everything. And that's what makes David so special and so valuable. And the reason why I believe that David could make God his all in his life is because David knew God intimately, and there were a few truths about David, about God that David believed. And Dr. Thomas Constable, I got this resource from Will Blanchard here, puts it that there are four convictions that guided David's life. And I believe it's very true. Four truths about God that David believed that guided David's life. And we can see that throughout David's life in all what we've learned about him and also reflected tonight in his last words or final words. David believed that God is the ultimate king. David believed that God was the ultimate ruler. David believed God deals righteously with his people. David believed that God's merciful. And David believed that God's will is desirable. And like I said, we can see that these four truths that David believed about God appear time and through in his life and also being reflected in tonight in his final words. We've looked at David's calling and how God called him from a mere shepherd boy. In his defining moment when he slayed Goliath and gave God the glory, making him the ultimate king. We saw this in his humility, giving God the sovereignty he deserved and being God the ultimate king for him and not killing Saul. We saw that in his blessing, in how God's merciful to him and his family. And that mercy that David learned from God, we can see that reflected in him dealing with Saul's family later on, Mephibosheth. And we can see that in his rebellion, he believed that God was righteous and he believed that he ought to own what he did wrong. And he owns that, leaning on God's chesed mercy and calling out for his mercy in Psalms 51, saying, have mercy on me in his restoration, and tonight in his final words as well. Going into his final words, book of Samuel, 2 Samuel 23, 1. The author starts by introducing David. These are the words of David, the last words of David. Pretty important, it's the last words that he's speaking. And it's not like that he spoke these words and he died. It was the last word to the assembly that he was addressing, to his house, he was talking. And this is the inspired utterance, God's getting the glory for what David is saying, of David, son of Jesse. Humble shepherd boy, son of Jesse, who was exalted by the Most High and anointed by the God of Jacob, the hero of Israel's son. Here, the author of the book of 2 Samuel is choosing to introduce David as not as king who slayed millions and thousands, not as someone who destroyed the enemy kingdoms, but he's been introduced as the hero of Israel's son. In other translation, David is introduced as the sweet psalmist of Israel. For him, the most important thing in David's life was not his kingdom or his crown, but for him, the most important thing about his life was being able to exalt Yahweh. God was the ultimate king in David's life, and we can see that being reflected in his last words as well. Moving on, the Spirit of the Lord spoke through me, the word of God was on my tongue. David is saying that this is what the Lord is telling me, and I'm telling to you, house of Israel. And David now addresses God here. He says, the God of Israel spoke. Remember who the master is. It's not me. Remember house of Israel. Israel's all about God. God of Israel. The rock of Israel said to me, the rock where the foundation of this nation is built, it's on God. Remember, it's not you. It's not me. It's God. I believe he's talking to his house. I believe there is perhaps future King Solomon sitting right there and other rulers as he's saying this and addressing who God meant to David. God was everything. And for David, he's the foundation of the kingdom that I rule. He's the ultimate king. Moving on, these are the words David says came from the word, the Lord, and he's giving it to his people. When one rules over people in righteousness, when he rules in fear of God, only way to be ruling a kingdom righteously is through fear of God. If you want to rule a kingdom within righteousness, it's going to happen only through fear of God. He's like the light of morning at sunrise. This person who rules righteously within the fear of God is going to be hope, joy, and blessing to his people. Light of morning at sunrise. Joy, hope. On a cloudless morning, like the brightness after rain that brings grass from the earth, that brings life. So the one who rules righteously is going to bring light and life to the kingdom. Listen, house of Israel. If you want to do anything good for this kingdom, or even within your own life, you've got to rule in the fear of God, in righteousness. Well, ultimately, this pointing towards Messiah, the ultimate king, the ruler who's going to rule justly and righteously and bring light and life, this is also a blueprint that Israel's getting. Israel's rulers are getting to rule their kingdom. And on contrary to that, David here talks about someone who does not fear the Lord, and someone who does not seek for God's righteousness. Those are to be cast aside like thorns. which are not to be gathered with hand. Whoever touches thorns uses a tool, iron, or shaft of a spear. They are to be burned up where they lie. Their end is horrible. If you are not to be in fear of God, if you are not to deal and rule righteously, your end is horrible. Similar to what Jesus talks in Matthew 13 about darnel, about burning up those things that grow at the same time, but they are to be burned up. And that's what's going to happen to the one that does not fear the Lord and does not seek righteousness. A good question to ask is, where do you think David finds himself? Is he the evil one, or is he the one that rules righteously? Because a couple of weeks ago, we saw in his fall that he was pretty evil with what he did. In verse 5, David says, "If my house were not right with God, surely he would not have made with me an everlasting covenant, arranged and secured in every part." David finds his house to be right with God. And David viewed his house right with God because God had made an everlasting covenant with him, not the other way around. David is able to say that his house is right with God because God has made a covenant with David. And it's not because of what he did. It's because God decided to make his house right. Because God decided to make this covenant with his house. Moving on, if my house were not right with God, surely he would not have made with me an everlasting covenant, arranged and secured in every part. This covenant David talks about from God, it's unchangeable. It's been made. It's arranged and secured in every single part. And David agrees that surely he would not bring to fruition my salvation. David agrees that he needed to be saved. David somehow sees that, yes, that's what a righteous ruler should do, and that's what righteousness does. When you rule righteously, you rise, you prosper. And we saw that in David's rise. He prospered. His kingdom prospered. But there were times when David was evil. And we saw how David's life was turned upside down. He saw the consequences of sin and what he does. Here, David is giving all glory to God to make his house right with God. It's God who's making his house right with God himself, through the covenant that God has been making. And here David viewed his house right because of the covenant that God has made. And God's will and plan resulted in divine satisfaction and fulfillment of David's desire. What actually fulfilled David's desire was not those disordered desires that he had where he acted out in sin. That did not fulfill David's desire. That's not what actually is satisfying. What actually is satisfying is what God's will is. And God's will for David was covenant, salvation, and righteousness. And that's what satisfied David's desire. Here we can see David believing that God was the ultimate king. God dealt righteously. God was merciful to make that covenant with his household, even when he did not deserve to, for his house did not deserve that covenant. God still made him because God was merciful. And God's will is desirable because God's will for David was for his prosperity. God's will for David was covenant and salvation and righteousness. That's what David believed who God was to him. And we can see same thing in book of 1 Kings when David is giving his last words to his son Solomon. It's not going to be up on the screen. But David says to Solomon to observe what Lord your God requires and walk in obedience to him, because he is the ultimate king and he deals righteously. If you do not do that, you will not prosper. He says, do this so that you may prosper in all you do, because God deals righteously and he will make you prosper because he is merciful. And David says to Solomon, do that with all your heart and soul. David is saying to Solomon, make God your all. Desire him above all. Make God your all. So that is what David here thinks about God. God was all to David. There is a very popular quote that C.S. Lewis mentioned in one of his books. And it goes this way. How God thinks of us is not only more important, but infinitely more important. Indeed, how we think of him is of no importance, except insofar as it related to how he thinks of us. So that's what David thought about God, that God was his all, God was his everything, God was his portion. But what did God think about David? What did God think about David, I think, is more important than what David thought about God. in Book of Acts 13:22, we find God saying, the word from Book of Samuel being quoted and saying, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. That is what God thinks about David, a man after his own heart who will do everything he wanted him to do. God is saying, David is a man who will make me his all. That's what God thinks of David. We are to not forget that it was God who picked David up from the sheep pens, says Book of Psalms 78. He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be shepherd of his people, of Israel, his inheritance. God chose David in the first place. He was the one who picked David up from nobody. He did not pick David up from an aristocratic household. He picked David up from the lowest of the low. Even his own household did not believe that David was the one who was going to be anointed king. Yes, David made God his all. But God thinks of David as a man after his own heart, as God is picking up David and choosing David from sheep pens. God chose him, he took him, he anointed him. And the word of the God says that the Spirit of the Lord came strongly in David. And I believe that God shaped David to be a man after his own heart. Lord's will was to shape David, and David's desire was to be shaped by God to do God's will. Almost like a mutual dance here. That's what David thought about God. God was his all to David. And God chose David to make him a man after his own heart. Psalms 27:4, it's a very, very popular Psalms where David expresses his desire. The Psalm says, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. While it was God's plan to choose David from sheep pens and to shape him to be a man after his own heart, David at the same time equally desired to be shaped by God, to be the man after his own heart. That's what's so special about David compared to other kings before and after him. He desired to be shaped by God. He desired to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. While on the other hand, in the book of Exodus, this is what the God's will was. Then I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God. They will know that I am the Lord their God who brought them out of Egypt so that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. From beginning, from Eden, God's will was to dwell with mankind. And as we are commencing David's life, David desired to dwell in the presence of the Lord. David desired to dwell in the presence of the Lord, God had the same will. So God's will, again, was to shape David, and David's will was to be shaped by God. And this shaping looked like indwelling. The word dwell in Hebrew means shakan, and its translation is a continual connection. Shakan meaning continual connection while being in and remaining in. That's what the word dwell in English and shakan in Hebrew means. Something very similar to that has been said by the word became flesh and dwelt among us in John 15. Remain in me as I also remain in you. The idea of abide. So the reason why David was so special and the reason why David made God his all was because he was able to believe in the truths and who God was. And he knew who God was. And the reason how David knew who God was is because David abided with the Lord. Remain in me as I also remain in you. What does this abiding look like for David? How did God shape David to abide like that? As we looked, David's desire was to dwell in the presence of the Lord. David's desire was to dwell in the presence. That's what was his main or the only desire that he had, was to dwell in the presence of the Lord. And David says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. As he desires to be with God, he knows God. Dr. Coleman says in his master plan of evangelism, to know was to be with. Knowledge was gained by association before it was understood by explanation. So as David dwelt in Lord's presence, he knew God more. And as David is knowing God more, he wants to be with God more. And as David knows God more, he desires his will. And he says, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. As David's in God's presence, he's knowing what his will for David is. His will for David is good, for David's prosperity. His will for David is for his salvation and righteousness. And David, that's what I ought to desire. Not my will, but his will. Just like Scott said last week, not my will be done, but thy will be done. Because whenever David said, my will be done, he ran into problem and he ran into situations that where he did not want to run. So as David is abiding and being with God, he's knowing God more. As he's knowing God more, he's wanting to be with God more. He's wanting to dwell in his presence. And as he's dwelling in his presence, he's again knowing God more and knowing what his perfect will for David is. And oh yes, that's what I have to desire. That's what I should desire. His will is desirable. This looks like shaping of David's being a man after God's own heart. This looks like shaping of David in making him desire and make God his all. This looks like God picked David from sheep's pen, just like a potter would pick some clay and shape it. And shape it to be a man after his own heart. God picked David and shaped him to be a man after his own heart. But where did this all start? This all started when God picked him up and the Spirit of the Lord came strongly in David. Spirit of the Lord came strongly in David. And that's how, as the Spirit of the Lord came strongly in David, David started dwelling with the Lord. David started knowing God more. And David started knowing the truth about God more, that God is the ultimate king. God is the ultimate king. It's not about me. As David started knowing God more, David started knowing the truth about God more, that God deals righteously, so I better own what I did wrong. That's why whenever Nathan goes and rebukes David, he says, I have sinned against the Lord. But in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, when Samuel goes and rebukes Saul, he goes and counts his military force, the difference in between these two kings. And in the book of Samuel, when Samuel had rebuked Saul for the first time, and that's where the first time he had used the word, God has found the one after his own heart. Because that's the difference. Because David dwelt with the Lord, knew God more. As he was knowing God more, he was knowing the truth about God more. As he was knowing the truth about God more, he was desiring God's will and submitting to God. And that is how God was shaping David to be the man after his own heart. In the book of Leviticus, it says, I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you or not abandon you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. And we see that in David's life as he's dwelling with the Lord, with the spirit that he's received from the Lord and in his presence. And book of Corinthians says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in your midst? Isn't it crazy to think that the same spirit that came strongly in David today lives in you and lives in me whenever we believe in the name of Jesus Christ? Is the same spirit that God gave to David lives in you and lives in me. David abided with the Spirit of the Lord. David desired his presence the most. David wanted to dwell David wanted to shakan in his presence, continual connection with the Lord. And that is how Lord shaped David to be the man after God, man after his own heart. That is how God shaped. In his presence, he shaped David as David desired to be in God's presence. As we are wrapping David's life, we learn so much about David. But if we were to take one thing about David that was special, is that he made God his all. And the one thing that he desired was to be in God's presence. And in his presence, he got shaped to be man after God's own heart. And it's all started through God choosing him, anointing him, and putting in him his own spirit. It's pretty crazy, and my brain cannot fathom that the same spirit lives in you and the same spirit lives in me. That God has chosen you and me, and he wants to shape you and me to be the men and women after his own heart. He wants to shape you and me to be able to make him our all. Because it's him who's going to shape us as we desire to be shaped by him, just like David desired to dwell in the house of the Lord. What does this dwelling look like? I will let Brother Lawrence tell us what it looks like. And I really like this quote from his book, Practicing Presence of God. Letters, actually. If I were a preacher, I would preach nothing but practicing the presence of God. If I were to be responsible for guiding souls in the right direction, I would urge everyone to be aware of God's constant presence. If for no other reason than because his presence is a delight to our soul and to our spirits. His presence is delight to our soul and spirits. And his presence dwells among us, in his spirit. One thing David did that made him special was he abided with the Lord. And Jesus says, the Word became flesh who dwelt among us, himself says, remain in me as I also remain in you. I remain in me. I remain in you. Would you remain in me? I have given my spirit to you. Would you be aware of my presence every second and dwell in my presence so that I can shape you to be men and women after my own heart? Remain in me as I remain in you. John 14, 17 says, the spirit of truth, the world cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you do know him. He abides with you and will be in you. The spirit of truth is in us. It's abiding in us. Tonight, as we are wrapping this David series up, my encouragement to us, Mosaic, is let's abide. Let's abide with him, just like David did. Let's be in his presence. Let's desire to be in his presence through his word. Let's abide with him. And let's make ourselves aware that his presence is in us. That his spirit is in us, the same spirit that was in David. Let's abide while we go to work. Let's remind ourselves that God lives in us. Let's delight in the spirit that, like Brother Lawrence is talking about. Let's abide when we go to gym. When we are surrounded by temptation, when we go to gym, we might get a couple extra reps as well. Who knows? Let's abide. Let's abide when we go to work and we're driving. Let's abide when we don't think that life is not fair. Let's abide because he will shape us in that. He shaped David when he was running away. It was not fair to David. Saul was chasing him to kill and he was running away. Life was not fair, but he still was abiding with the Lord. And within that, he was shaping the Lord. Isn't it amazing that for some reason, God who created everything wants, and it's his will that we will dwell in him, and then he dwells in us already, as I also remain in you? Let's abide like David did. Let's abide and let us let him shape us in every situation in our life. In difficult, in joy, in happiness, in sorrow, let's abide with him. Although we don't have answer to all those why that's happening, but I have this to tell you that he is in work. He is shaping. Just like he picked David up from seed pens, like clay, and shaped him to be man after own heart. He wants to shape you and he wants to shape me. He wants to shape you and me. Let's abide in him. Let's practice his presence. And as we are wrapping this series up, let's practice his presence right now a little bit. reminding ourselves that His Spirit dwells in us, in these bodies. I will read one of my favorite Psalms, Psalms 139, and I would encourage us to close our eyes as I'm reading these Psalms, and let's remind ourselves of God's truth. Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, You know all about it, Lord. You have enriched me. You have placed Your hand on me. This wondrous knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty. I'm unable to reach it. Where can I go to escape Your Spirit? Where can I flee from Your presence? If I go up to heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, You are there. If I fly on the wings of the dawn and settle down on the western horizon, even there Your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold on to me. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to You. The night shines like the day. Darkness and light are alike to You, for it was You who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise You, because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from You when I was made in secret. When I was formed in the depths of the earth, Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in Your book and planned before a single one of them began. God, how precious Your thoughts are to me. How vast their sum is. If I counted them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake up, I'm still with You. God, if only You would kill the wicked, Your bloodthirsty man, stay away from me. We invoke You deceitfully. Your enemies swear by You falsely. Lord, don't I hate those who hate You and detest those who rebel against You? I hate them with extreme hatred. I consider them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. Let's spend some time in quiet, realizing that His Spirit dwells in us, and He's in us, and He desires us to dwell in Him. He desires us to abide in Him.
I do.
it is true that apart from you, we can truly do nothing. Apart from you, we're dead on the vine. But Lord, in you, rooted in you, the vine gives life. In pain and difficulty, in joy and everything, you're shaping us. So Lord, I pray this week as we go from here, that we will truly abide in you, that we'll practice your presence, taking moments throughout our day just to pause, to enjoy the blessing of dwelling with you. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Mosaic, it's been such a joy to worship with you. If you'd like to have someone pray with you, we've got some people that would love to do that. You can just go to the back corners of the room, and some people would like to go to the Lord. And in light of the challenge, I'll make a slight modification to our benediction this week. Go in the presence of God to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.